So in the Mississippi Delta, we spoke about this morning, they're worried about the future and having lots of anxiety about the oil that's leaking into the Gulf. But in the Niger Delta in Nigeria, which has been called the world capital of oil pollution, the future may be already happening there. And if the people in the Gulf want to know what their future is, they need only to look to the Niger Delta. Joining us now is Carolyn Duffield, BBC correspondent in Nigeria, who's recently traveled to that delta to talk with fishermen there. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning.
Give us a sense of why they would call a place the world capital of oil pollution.
Well, it's hard to actually describe some of the sites that we've seen, John. You go to these places in the Delta and there are extraordinary scenes of not just poverty, but massive environmental devastation, places where literally nothing is left alive because of the severity of the spill. It's hard to see the strange things that you can see, silver frogs hopping out of greasy puddles. You see cauldrons of tar coating the landscape. You see areas where there have been spills that cleanup operations have tried to burn off the oil and entire forests have been burned.
Wow.
So there are a huge number of areas that are devastated in the Delta. It's very underreported because it's a dangerous and difficult place to get into, very dangerous to move around. Just to give you an idea, there are 2,000 major spill sites and around 300 spills there every year.
Wow. Well, let's meet some of the people who pointed out some of the wildlife and the permanent impacts there. Here's Abinabibo Sanipe.
Look at the oysters here. They're no more having good life and they're very small. So that is how everywhere is being affected. They cannot grow. We cannot have much of them. And even the fishes in the sea, they're all gone.
I mean, he's describing that as though that's just his day-to-day reality.
It is a day-to-day reality for a lot of people in Niger Delta. And what was extraordinary was to be down there and to hear again and again this sort of astonishment that Nigerians feel when they look at the Gulf of Mexico and they look at the round-the-clock efforts to halt the spills, they look at the technology, the media attention, they look at the flotillas of scientists, the underwater robots, the booms, the special capping and taps that are going on under the sea drilling. They're actually amazed because they are simply left with spills year in,
wow,
year out. In site after site that the BBC has been to, it's absolutely common for spills simply to be left. And that's not something because of the way the Nigerian law is here, that if it's believed to have been a sabotage spill, there's been a long wrangle over compensation and a long wrangle over cleanup operations. And often the local companies that are hired to come in and clean up really fail to do a proper job. Site after site, we saw spills that have been there for months, even years.
Well, let's listen to two more voices. Here's Abinabibo Sanipe one more time talking about his frustration with the government. And then we're going to hear one more voice.
The government is not doing anything to implement any environmental hazard solutions in this area. Certainly for us, it is the government, because the government can control this thing.
If it were in Europe, they would dare not, because they can revoke their license or government will take action. Here, government and oil companies are like partners in business.
That man, Eric Skoba, says in Europe, they would never dare to leave things like this. Do you buy that?
I do, actually. There's a clear difference between the way that oil companies behave outside Nigeria and then under very weak Nigerian law here.
Well, it's an amazing picture of perhaps the Gulf of Mexico's future, despite all the booms and underwater robots. Carolyn Duffield is BBC correspondent in Nigeria, who just reported on her recent trip to the Niger Delta, called the world capital of oil pollution. Thank you, Carolyn.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.